Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, September 4th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Nice to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as those listening to the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. And as always, to begin, we're going to read our abbreviated principles of belief. And those principles are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH also has several other educational programs, including metaphysicsinstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and other degrees in paranormal science, hypnosis, and many other areas. You can find out more about our principles of belief and these programs at metaphysicalhumanism.org. And tonight, our program is on transitions and managing those transitions. And Dr. Hunter, I think it's on you to get started tonight.
It's on me. It's on
Tag,
me.
Tag, you're it.
you know, this is a huge topic. Everybody is going through some kind of transition or some kind of change. And boy, how do you manage that? How do you navigate? And, you know, giving a lot of thought to this discussion tonight, I think that there are two kinds of change. One that you initiate on your own, one that you want to, you know, you're aspiring to do new things and wanting to keep going. But the other is, you know, when, oh, wow, that just happened to me and to my life, and now what do I do? So, you know, we kind of have to break it down whenever there is a change in your life. If it is something that you've initiated, you can't always know exactly how things are going to kind of fall into place, because there's changes along the way that, you know, our brain files don't necessarily have room for having that experience with. But the other is going through daily life, life will have its way with us, and there's always going to be something going on that we have to be able to learn how to go with the flow and how to manage. Now, I'm not talking extreme crisis. I think that let's just talk about there's been a change in your job or a change in the, you know, something in the family. Well, I always say push the pause button before you, you know, say or do anything that would be kind of give you time to decide how you want to respond, how you want to go forward. Check in with yourself and, you know, then take certain steps that if, again, if you're able to. Some things, I got to say, some things are just out of our control and we can feel. So this is the other extreme when life happens to us, that we really have how do you do that? You know, now what do I do? It's because this is way out of my, you know, it's off my, I say it's over my pay grade in life, but it's out of our control. You know, when I read the tarot for people, this is how I kind of see it, whether other readers do or not. But when there's a lot of major arcana, that's the 22 symbols in the tarot, when a lot of major arcana comes in, up in a reading, I always say, you know, what's going on in your life, this is indicating to me that it's not necessarily of your doing, it's stuff around you, and you just have to respond as well as possible. So that's kind of where I'm at there, is like it's out of your control. But then to regain control, it's to pull yourself back in, don't lose who you are, and step forward. So it's back again, if I'm going to recap this, two kinds of change. When you want changes, and the other, which is a bigger topic, of when life is happening to you and you go, uh-oh, what do I do? You got any injections here, Michael, before I carry on?
I think that that's a great way to put it, when life's happening to you. You know, how do you take it? And that's part of the transitions that we, you know, we're talking about, the things that happen to you that are really outside of your control. And one of the thoughts I had kind of listening while you were talking is when thinking about what's under our control, you know, when people say, oh, life's simple, and people make it more complicated than it needs to be, that's true in a lot of ways, in so far as people try to control things that they can't control. It's simple if we think about only worrying about ourselves, our own actions, doing things within those bounds. But, of course, I always rebelled against that notion that life is simple, thinking to myself, life is incredibly complex. Everything's complex. Even a rock just sitting there on the side of the road is complex in that it is made of star stuff, had a huge, long history of existence before it became just that stone sitting there. And I would always think about the complexity of life, and I think that adds context. When we think about how complex life is, we kind of put things into context, into its proper order and proper place, and then we can more easily deal with the transitions and the changes in our lives by focusing on what we can control, but keeping an open mind to, you know, to the realities of life and to new possibilities.
Well, you bring up a great point, and you know, you learn this in the IMHS studies for sure, is you can't control other people. So assuming that we're just learning on controlling ourselves, and how to move forward is one discussion, but if you really check in and say, am I trying to control somebody over there or something out there when I'm not managing myself? Well, yikes. You know, that's not going to work. So controlling other people, look, anybody can do that. I really believe that through manipulation, strategizing. It's like people often like play a chess game. You know, I want these people to do that. Those, you can give orders, but you're not living from the inside out then. You know, you kind of leave your body and you're living over there instead of in here. And how do I manage my own life? And how do I learn to mind my own business?
That's a great way to put it. Great way to put it. And, you know, I've always facetiously kind of made the argument when somebody says, oh, you can't control other people. I'm like, sometimes I can. And, you know.
Don't they know I'm a witch? I'm kidding.
but, you know, and to that, the rational, wise response is, well, you can manipulate people for a certain period of time, but ultimately you can never control somebody, not truly, and you shouldn't try. You shouldn't want to try. And of course,
well,
you know,
usually blowback.
Well, obviously. And another thing is, we're talking about transitions and how to manage them. Yeah. Well, when you're manipulating somebody else, when you're controlling them and pulling their strings, you're stifling their natural evolution through their life and their natural progression, well, their natural ability to manage their own transitions. Yeah. You're interjecting and you're, well, not to get too nerdy, but you're breaking the prime directive. Gosh darn it.
It is so. One of the nine principles, too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. You know, there's some transitions in life, and when I say they are out of our control, but we have to learn how to manage ourselves through that transition. Let's say you've lost a loved one. You know, I'm just saying, because it happens. There's a huge void in your life, a big space, if you will. Mm-hmm. How do you then, go through the transition of filling that void? When part of the struggle and grief is that you don't want to fill that void, right? You want that someone still there. Mm-hmm. So there's these stages of grieving, and that's a really important aspect of transition that we need to address, whether it's the loss of a loved one or what you're familiar with in the past, you know, because we very often go back to old habits. So there's these stages of grieving, and I believe that, you know, we all need to grieve in a change of any kind. But when you're grieving the loss of someone, I have this 10-minute thing, is that if you're feeling really emotional, let it blow. Let it out. I'll give it 10 minutes, though. And maybe it'll happen again in an hour. That's fine. Maybe it'll happen 10 times in a day, but manage it by a clock. Look at the clock, say 10 minutes, go. And then regain yourself so that you can get into managing your life. So you're managing emotion rather than trying to fight it or let it take over you. But let's say just a change, transition of some kind in your life. Let's say you've lost a relationship, there's been a divorce, or again, you're in a new job. There's these stages of unfamiliarity, and in unfamiliarity, it's the willingness to be curious. I think that that's really important, but also to allow yourself to those moments of not so much look back, but understand that you're going to grieve the familiarity of the past. And that's been really important for me in various stages of life. Like, I'm not who I was before. Like, who am I today? I am who I am, but what I am continues to change and grow. There's a lot of things about the young me that I really miss. Like, I used to be able to pick up a couch, and now I can't. So there's certain things you miss it, but there was a time when I was going through this transition, physical transitions in the body, I was grieving the old me. You grieve a youthfulness, I suppose. But it lightens up after a while. So the transition is into acceptance of a new way of being. Now, I think life always happens in layers.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, there's going to be, while you're adjusting to, wow, I got this now, there's always going to be something else in these underlying layers that continually change. And that's where going with the flow, just rolling with it. And it's like Dr. Kelly would say too, don't sweat the small stuff, and, you know, don't catch other people's stuff. Drop the ball, you know what I mean? Like, don't catch it.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
There's all those lessons that we go through when we're in all kinds of transitions. So my point there is that it's grieving, but unfamiliarity, you're applying yourself in a new way to life, and that's a good thing. And curiosity, I think, is, in my view, a real anchor. For me, it's an anchor. Well, I wonder how this is going to play out.
Well, it's essential. And one of the points I was trying to get at earlier is that when going through transitions and transitioning from different periods of your life to another, different life stages to another, sometimes you don't know what direction you go in. Sometimes you might not realize all the choices that you actually have. And that's when, you know, you think of life as this simple box that you've been in, this, you know, I can do this, this, or this, or I'm from here, so my choices are this, this, and this. Well, that's not true. Life is incredibly complex, very diverse. There are more possibilities than we realize. And some of those possibilities that lie outside of our belief systems, they will have the answers we seek, and they will aid us in our transitions from different life stages or from different relationships, going through grieving even. I've had opportunity to grieve lately in the last year or so of my life. And, you know, I've lost some family and I've lost, other family. I was going to say I lost my pet, my dog. Well, he was family too. And, you know, it's taken me a little bit longer to kind of move on for some reason. And I wonder, you know, why? Why is it more difficult for me to manage this transition from, you know, before to after? Not that it's, you know, it's not critically a problem in my life, but, you know, I don't feel right, you know? I don't have my dog here with me. I don't have, you know, And it's not, you know, I could go, you know, I could manipulate things in my life to put myself in a situation, get another dog, but it's not quite the same. I want my dog. I want Toby. I want him back.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I've dealt with grief in my life. I've dealt with transitioning. I've dealt with some pretty big transitions, and I managed them to the best of my ability at the time, and I've gotten better at it over time. But, and I got pretty good at grief and understanding death and understanding the cycle of life and understanding, you know, that my dog, his name was Toby, was a great dog. He was a golden retriever, and he, by all rights, he had a good life. You know, he was always cared for. He was always loved. My friends loved him. My family loved him. I took him everywhere with me. You know, he had a good life, and he was relatively healthy. You know, he had his issues, but they were able to be treated. He was able to be active. You know, he never had hip dysplasia or different things like that that would have chronically disabled him. Up until his end, he was relatively healthy, which is good. It's lucky. Not all creatures that bear this existence can say the same. And he didn't have to suffer long, and that was another thing I'm very grateful for. And so what I say is, when I think about this transition, is that I am grateful for the life he had. I realize death in its place, but for some reason in this context, I have found it more difficult for myself to transition to a new life kind of without him. And I don't know exactly why. I don't know it's definitely me. It's definitely something that I'm missing, and I'm trying to navigate this particular transition to, you know, feel kind of, you know, right again.
Well, I think that if I can, I certainly, you know, thanks for sharing that, Michael, first of all, if I can say that, because that's really heartfelt and deep, and I've had a lot of people in the chat, they can all relate to exactly what you're saying. We all can to some degree, but this is very unique because it's you.
Yeah.
And it's Toby and your situation, and it's a very real transition to talk about. So again, when we were talking about loss earlier, I feel that if I can help you in answering, because I've had to study this in myself, why are some losses greater than other losses? And I narrowed it down to kind of simply, I miss who I was when they were here.
Yeah.
It's where I miss myself. Like, I felt better about me when they were here. Whether it was a lifestyle, animals, people, I felt better about me. I liked who I was better. I felt comfortable that, I know Cecilia's talking about attachment. I think it's greater than that. It's about who I was, who you were. You just said too, you were very active. You took him with you, and you were outgoing, and you're missing that part of yourself, you know, and honestly, that's where I can relate entirely. 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I had to give up my animals to move in the city in transitioning because I was sick. So I, you know, 20 years on a farm. And that grieving, the lifestyle, and so on, I missed who I was. My brother's been gone over 30 years, and boy, even the mention of his name, is I miss who I was when I could talk to him. Do you know, I miss him, but I miss who I express myself as, how I express myself. I miss me in our conversations. So when, again, recognizing that in myself, I can roll with it better. You know, it's like, Vicky, you better find something better to do now. You know, you need to find something else to fill that void or fill that space in yourself. Because you're always going to miss Toby. You're always, like, for the rest of your life, you're going to remember Toby and the wonderful stories. And you'll never be the same for who you were when you were with him. Do you see?
Yeah.
So that's how I see this in transitioning, in my view.
Well, I think that's a great way to put it, and very insightful, too, because I think you're right about a lot of ways. The people and things in our lives, the family that we have, they do form a part of who we are. And when they leave this plane of existence to move on to another, part of ourselves goes with them. And it's a complicated thing. And there's no one size fits all answer to any of this.
I agree.
And I just want to you know, point out that, you know, I appreciate the support for my boy Toby, and I just want to say, Dr. Angie had mentioned just last week they lost one of theirs, and man, my heart goes out to her and her family too, and to Dr. Darlene, who's Mickey passed this last May. I know it's very, very tough.
Yeah. You know, we identify ourselves. You brought up a really important tiny little point there that's really huge. We identify a part of who we are in what we're doing and who we're with and how we are. And I know this is no comparison by any stretch, but a lot of people go to work every day and they identify themselves by their workplace. You know, and suddenly the company closes. Well, who am I now? I remember having a discussion with somebody once about music and obsessed with music all the time, like really brilliant musician. But he said, it's my soul. My music is my soul. And I said, well, if I can help you clarify, music's what you do. You know, it's not who you are. It's what you do. It's a part of who you are, but you're also a human being with all these other facets to your life that's not just music. So when it is, you know, kind of like a job and somebody loses their identity when their job is gone or getting fired or whatever it is, you know, for getting retired in your life, you know, so it's just something that changes. It's you identified yourself with that, and it's a familiarity about yourself. And suddenly there's a huge change, and that's the grieving. But it's not just grieving that, it's grieving ourselves. So I think that it's, you know, it is a tough one. How do we manage transition? And so how do we move forward? Mm-hmm. And it's recognizing these little things, you know, and it's hopefully not to cause ourselves a lot of stress as we do go through that. And in my view, there's two kinds of stress. One is a stress that's momentary, which is transition. It's a stress. It's one of those things that, oh, stress is like, yikes, that just caused me a lot of stress.
Yeah.
But, and then there's other stress that is like the tap dripping. And just goes on and on and on. Well, and it's like, how do you then, you know, move through that, and as Dr. Kelly would say too, is create a different order in your life, get things back in order, and and kind of structure your thinking. It requires a lot of discipline. Trust me, it does.
Oh yeah. Go ahead. Well, and you know, when you mentioned stress and the steady drip, you know, I've battled anxiety, depression my entire life. Kind of coming to realize more than ever before that anxiety's played a much bigger role than I ever thought it did, because I've always just felt always kind of worried, and I've, you know, gone through periods of my life where I've had panic attacks and different things like that. And my de facto way of dealing with it is I endure it, but I don't let it stop me. I keep doing whatever it is I'm going to do.
Yep.
And it'll wind down, I'll acclimate over time, but anxiety is one thing I've always dealt with. And what I've kind of realized is, I look back and a lot of different periods of my life, there's always this low-level feeling of anxiousness. Just a little tension. You know, tension especially in your chest or something. You just feel it. And it's just always there, kind of in low-lying, always just kind of in the background. It made me think of that steady drip. And when you had mentioned, just listening to the dialogue tonight also makes me think about how when we communicate with others, we exchange ideas and thoughts, we can figure out new methods of dealing with transitions.
Yes.
And we also, reading through, I'm trying to keep up with Chad as I can, and I know that Dr. Hanji had mentioned, I think these broadcasts are written for her lately. And it's funny because I kind of think the same thing. A lot of times we'll be talking about something, and, well, truth be told, cards on the table, I do have somewhat of a role in coming up with the topics from time to time. So when I say sometimes they're written for me, maybe kind of. But
it's good. We brainstorm. Mutual.
Exactly. Well, I'd say that you probably come up with the better of them. But
one
thing I will say is unexpectedly you have said something or we've come across a topic that I didn't expect to talk about, but that I found hugely beneficial to me personally. And Dr. Angie felt the same way, and that makes me think of our common humanity, our commonalities, the reason there's so many shared experiences. And because of those shared experiences, we can learn from each other and learn tools to deal with these things in our lives, these transitions. Because what was that anxiety from? That anxiety is from fear of those transitions of change, because transition is change.
Oh, boy, I tell you, you nailed it right there, Michael. Anxiety is waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a tough one. It's a tough one because it's about being in the moment and trusting yourself. To me, this is key because I've dealt with a little anxiety in my life, too.
Yeah.
Is learning to better trust myself that I can handle it, whatever comes. It's not about other people. You know what? It's like, I hate to say this. I mean, I wish all good people would all do good things, but we kind of expect that some people don't act so good.
And
I don't know why I'm always still constantly surprised. but I'm okay because I can manage myself. And the more I learn to trust me, the less I worry about somebody's other shoe dropping on my foot.
Yeah.
You know, it's like defensive driving, though. You know, you have to watch out for the other guy that you don't run into them. But it's trusting me. If I have, this is how I say it to myself. If I've dealt with all that I've dealt with in my life, I can deal with this, whatever this is. And it's okay. Today I'm okay. And then I back it up to taking 1 hour, you know, one day at a time. And sometimes it's, oh, I wonder how I'm going to get through the next 10 minutes. I'm having a little bit of a panic attack. But then I have little tricks for myself. I think yellow, breathe it in, take it down to my solar plexus, and calm that center, you know, that solar plexus center, so that all these anxieties don't go to my brain and fire off all the neural pathways, you know, because then I have to go lie down, right?
Yeah.
Because it does. It's biochemical. We have physical reactions to these things, so we can't just blame emotion or intellect. It's we have to roll with the physicality of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Also. I had one panic attack one night years ago that was paralyzing. I mean, absolutely paralyzing. I'd never had one of those before, and I must have been 25 years old, scared the out of me. And what just happened? Well, I felt this loss of control, and there, in an environment with people, that I went into a panic attack. And I removed myself from the social environment, and had to do breathing, recover, and I went, I don't trust me. I don't trust that I can handle this. And maybe there was a little bit of radar going on. So there's your intuition, your instincts. But as long as I live in fear and anxiety, my instincts aren't going to work very well. So that was the challenge for me, to gauge instinctually or intuitively my environment and learn to trust myself better and calm those fears down. I got some skills, I can deal with this. That doesn't mean I'm not going to get sucker punched. Any one of us. Stuff can hit us. None of us is impervious to you know, getting whacked upside the head now and again.
The life happening to us?
Yeah, I mean, it'll happen.
Well, there's the old adage, you know, happen to life, don't let life happen to you. Well, well, sometimes life's going to happen to you, because life's pretty big. I must be almost cursed in there, but I didn't. But it's, life is massive, and you know what? Life has more mass, more energy, more power than us individually. But we can change it. We can influence it. We can, as
we
the old
trust
saying.
Ourselves. Yeah,
absolutely. And as the old saying goes, you can't change the direction of the wind, but you can adjust the sails, so to speak.
You know, we have these discussions, if I can add this, on this program every Wednesday. And Michael and I have been covering for Dr. Kelly, taking a little bit of time out on the program, still fully active in the school, but the program. I've so enjoyed these conversations, Michael, but I hope everybody out there understands that we can't really have these discussions unless we've been through some of it ourselves. And you sharing tonight, Michael, has been huge and a great contribution, you know, to the discussion and other people, and certainly by, you know, all the response in the chat. And that's why we can have these talks. We can, you know, we're vulnerable. We can show that vulnerability. We can say, hey, this is my stuff. Mm-hmm. But then there's also a great strength in that, because we know we've endured, we know that we've overcome a lot of things, and we know we'll overcome the next. So then we can get into the positive about sharing those ideas, tips. What worked for you might not work for me, but it could work for somebody listening. You know, some people in the chat, we have done our best, you know, to, you know, tell people, you know, that, oh, this was going on in the chat. But we haven't, boy, there's been a lot of discussion, hard to keep up with tonight. But, you know, so that it inspires us to continue to talk. So when you're going through transition, everyone, talking is huge. Communicating is huge. Find a friend. Sometimes being angry is not a bad thing, by the way. Being angry can actually inspire you to be quite brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, don't vent that out to hurt other people by any stretch. But anger is a great fuel for ideas. You were going to say something, Michael?
I was just going to say, absolutely, everything in its balance, everything in its place, and, you know, everything is healthy in its way.
Perfect. Anybody want a card selected? Obviously, we could talk about this for a long time, Michael. I just looked at the clock and say, wow, our time's winding in here. Anybody want a card, please put your name in the chat, and we're going to start selecting cards for people tonight. And Dr. Edward right away. So again, if I can just, and maybe if you have something else to add, Michael, but transitioning is part of grieving the old, stepping into unfamiliar, and being okay with being curious about how you're going to apply yourself and how things are going to take a new shape in your life. And I know a lot of times we're blindsided and we say, whoa, just push the pause button. Don't let it overpower you, and don't certainly try to control other people. So I think that's kind of my summation. How about you, Michael?
Well, I'd say, you know, absolutely, in talking about the change that's inflicted upon us and the transitions inflicted upon us without choice. And, you know, I think we've talked about tonight also the transitions that we choose, the directions that we choose. And that's equally important, that we can control the sails. We can influence this massive universe in our own way, that we're not simply here as, what's the word? We're active participants in this existence. We're not just watching it. We're not just suffering it. We're actively part of it. We're influencing it. We're influenced by it. And don't forget that. We are the change we want to see in the world. And it's important to keep those purposeful, those deliberate transitions in mind as well.
I agree. Okay, let's get started. We have a lot of people putting their names up, Michael. So I'm going with Dr. Edward, reinvention. Huh. How appropriate is that? reinvention. Here you go, Dr. Edward. Nothing's more powerful or transformative than reinvention resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they're healthy. Answer the questions. What do I call a good day? And what else in my life should be reinvented? Or even could be reinvented? So, great. Great symbol to come up for you, Dr. Edward. Great one.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Wendy is next. Michael?
And Wendy, I pulled number 22, Think for Yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Awesome. I love that. Heather, you're next. I have number 8, Balance and Order. We were just talking about that a while ago. Yeah, you love the synchronicity of this. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what's out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon, the areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will. Great one. I hope you can relate to that, Heather. I sure do. Dr. Jeff, nice to see you here tonight. Michael, do you have one for Jeff?
Of course I do, and I have number 9, Empowerment.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't know if we pulled that one in a while. All right. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution, in principle, for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
I like it. I think Darlene put her name up first. I got kind of confused myself between Audra and Darlene, but I'm going to go with Darlene first, Michael, if you want to be on, up for Audra next. Darlene, I got number 40, relationships, for you. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They're not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. Don't be judgmental. I struggle with that one from time to time, trust me.
Okay.
Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it's with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship or to the relationship of one thing to another. So that's really important. How are we relating to our environment? How are we relating to a task, or our workplace? So it's not just about people relationships. So it's a really good reminder for us. So hope that resonates with you, Darlene. So, Michael, for Audra, please.
And for Audra, I pulled the wild card number 4, Unknowable.
Oh, my favorite. I'm not kidding. I love that card.
Oh, that's a good one. And just real quick before we move on, Dr. Hunter, what was the last card that you'd read?
Relationships, number 40.
Thank you. All right, and we have our wild card number 4, Unknowable. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable, unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
That's a really powerful card. It's like, whew, I love that one. Ronaldo, I picked number 5, Law of Control. So this is how this one reads. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The law of control says you can't change or control others. We were talking about that earlier. But you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you're entitled to control. Don't give unsolicited advice. Tough one for me sometimes. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are. You can lobby for change or leave. That's a really, that's a powerful line in there. I love that about the law of control. You can accept it. You can lobby for change or leave. So, but know what it is that you're trying to control. I like that. Hope that resonates with you, Ronaldo, in some way. Dr. Angie is up next, Michael. Hope you don't mind, people. We're going a little quickly because there's a lot of names in the chat today. And we're getting through it. Don't want to miss anybody.
Well, I've been playing a little game where I try to relate each card back to our overall topic. And as it so happens, they all relate to our topic of the evening.
I know.
Love how that works.
It does so.
So, Dr. Angie, I pulled number 25, Power of Belief. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means of lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy, and proceed with conviction.
I like it. I do. It's another great message. Now, I think the last one for the evening is AMG Blossom. I'm sorry, I don't know what your name is. Claiming this is your second time here. Nice to have you. I picked out number 24 for you. Truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there's truth in something or in a direction. So, you know, it's very true, especially in applying to any kind of changes in our lives, relating it back to our topic. There's always a way out. There's always a way forward. There's always something else to see in life that we didn't see before, hence curiosity. Be curious about yourself. You know, I know it sounds narcissistic to say this, but I don't mean it in that way. No one is more interesting to me than I am to myself. Well, and I tell you what, it's because I'm the only one who lives in here.
Exactly. And that's the thing is, I've been talking about this with various people lately, but of course, nobody will ever know you as well as you know you, you know, because of course you get the whole running monologue the entire time. But there's also another interesting thing. You'll never know yourself like other people do.
True.
And But I completely agree with your point that, you know yourself, and looking within can be as deep a universe as looking outward. And there are truths to be found. But it's a balance. You know, if you solely look inward, then you're missing the lessons and you're missing the world happening around you. If you look solely outward, you fail to reflect on the values and lessons that you're seeing and you don't absorb them. And, well, that's all I have to say about that.
You know, if I can just share, people who go through hard times and then step up to know who they are. Recently, I was contacted by an estranged nephew. And honestly, I haven't spoken to this nephew. Sally, yes, we have time for you. Michael, if you want to draw a card for Sally.
Oh, actually, I already have one ready for Sally. I saw you earlier in there. Don't worry, we got you.
Good news. And he has been an alcoholic. He's recently sobered up, 8 months now. And he is on his journey for self-discovery. And reaching out to me, he'd heard that, you know, through the grapevine that of what I do and that I work in metaphysics and et cetera. And he's curious. And I said, I'm here for you, you know, but it's really about who you are, finding out more who you are, discovering who you are, who you're naturally born to be, and kind of deciphering your programming versus how you naturally are. So we've talked about, you know, some of his struggles with learning and reading and the reasons for going into being an alcoholic, which, of course, doesn't necessarily go with the treatment programs he's been in. He said, why don't they teach this in treatment? And I said, well, they're in a program. You know, it's like being in a matrix, and that's how they deal with things. So I go into the whys of it, what inspired you, and what caused that. And so he's willing to. But I said, be curious and move out of singular thinking. And so in 1 week, I check in with him every week or so now. And in 1 week, he'd done a whole bunch of stuff, re-registered for school. You know, he's been in touch. It's amazing because inspired, do you see? It's that inspiration. Mm-hmm. We can do that for each other and we can do that for ourselves. And managing change. He's in a huge transition in life. So it's patience, patience, patience. Part of him, I think, and we all have this tendency to get ahead of ourselves. We have the goal in sight, but we don't necessarily have the steps in sight, you know, in sight to get there. And those steps are critical because that's where the truth is. So I just wanted to share that.
Well, thank you.
Card for Sally.
Absolutely. And I'd actually pulled number 29, pay it forward. And I'm happy that we were, I was, when I pulled this one earlier when we were talking, I was happy that this is a good card to end the night on. Because this is kind
sure
of
is.
The core of what it is to do no harm but do right. And living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now? And I was just going to say, paying it forward is just one amongst an infinite number of actions that lead to a better world. Doing a small nice thing or a big nice thing, it all leads to a better world.
And if I could say this, do something nice for yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
Boy, does that ever help with transitions. When you've, I don't know, I think I've said this to 3 people in the last week. I say, look how far you've come and all the great work you've done. You should celebrate. Celebrate yourself. You know, when you get through it, pat yourself in the back, as Dr. Kelly would say, you know.
Yeah.
It's a kudos to you. So do something kind. It doesn't have to be expensive. It just has to be a bit of kindness toward yourself, not just others. And from that, you can't give away what you don't have. And if you're not kind to yourself, you've got nothing to give away that isn't seen as, well, what's in it for you besides some gratification, you know? Be
yeah.
love, and you genuinely have love to give.
Yeah. Well, and it's going back to the balance.
Exactly.
That, you know, it's you can't always just put everyone ahead of yourself. You know, sometimes you can because it's the thing to do in the moment, but consistently over your life, you have to give yourself your own best as equal as that you give to everyone else, because we're all equal in this world. We're all deserving. And what is it that Dr. Kelly says? No one is as deserving of your best than well. Something along those lines.
We have to paraphrase it.
Well, paraphrasing. No, we're kind of. I know we're going past our lot of time for this evening, so we'll kind of start wrapping it up. But you know, it's been a truly great discussion this evening. I found it very cathartic and just such a deep topic. We really could go on.
I know we could. Thank you for everybody for hanging in there with us, going over our usual amount of time. And we've had a great group in here today, talking to each other and comments, and we thank you for that. It's really inspiring to Michael and I too, as we, you know, come on every week. So we appreciate you very much. I just wanted to say that.
Well, you know, as I've always said, I run on props. Get my props.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, Atra had mentioned this is her second time listening to the live broadcast, and she said she's going to be here every week, so I'm going to quote you on that when I speak to the higher up.
Okay.
So, well, as always, it's been a fantastic discussion. We really covered a lot of ground tonight, and thanks everyone for joining us. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Thank you, everyone.
Good night, everybody.